Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Listen now for God's holy word. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Can you guys hear me okay on Zoom? Yeah, okay. In the movie The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, there is a scene near the middle of the story that is full of glory. When I was in high school, this movie first came out in theaters and then was released on DVD. So my friends and I watched The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, probably dozens of times in high school. If you haven't seen this movie, you should. It's a great movie. Near the middle of the movie, there is a scene that is full of dazzling, shining glory. A scene where the heroes of the film, Frodo and the rest of his company, arrive at the great city of Rivendell. Their journey to the city of Rivendell has not been an easy journey. The main character of the story, Frodo, faces all kinds of trouble when he comes into the possession of a great and a powerful ring. When the ring comes to Frodo, his life is immediately in danger, but he also immediately receives and accepts a great and a singular calling to bear that ring, a calling which he unexpectedly is uniquely qualified to bear. In the first act of the film, Frodo's goal, what he believes is the extent of his calling, is to carry that great and terrible ring to this city, the city of Rivendell. Rivendell is a city in the mountains, a glorious city that gleams with the colors of white and green and gold. The city's buildings and bridges and waterfalls sparkle with glorious light. It is a city that is inhabited by elves, creatures who are beautiful and powerful, just and good. As Frodo travels to Rivendell, the journey is difficult and full of dangers. Frodo is being pursued by wraiths, dark, cloaked monsters who ride ferocious black horses, carrying enchanted swords and shrieking with piercing screams. Near the midpoint of the film, Frodo beats what seems like impossible odds, and he successfully carries that ring of power to the city of Rivendell, to the wise and the good elves, where Frodo believes he will be able to relinquish himself of this terrible ring, to turn it over to the care of the city and its inhabitants. There at Rivendell, Frodo is momentarily soothed. His wounds are healed. His hungers are nourished. His nerves are relieved. His skin is washed. He is given new clothing. Frodo is in the care of those good elves, and he believes that the ring will surely soon be out of his hands. Soon, he believes, he will be able to return home to his quiet and unassuming life in the Shire. Soon, he believes, everything will be just as it should be. But of course, this is not at all the case. Soon, the hero of the story will again leave that mountaintop experience, and once again, he will face the difficult calling of bearing that ring. The themes of that scene of Frodo in Rivendell from the movie The Lord of the Rings, I think the themes and the ideas in this story help us to unpack something of what is happening, something of what is meant by the story of the Transfiguration. Like the story from The Lord of the Rings, the Gospel of Mark has a scene near its midpoint that is full of wonder and glory. The disciples, like Frodo, have been through a lot at this point in the Gospel story. When finally they make it to this great and glorious mountaintop experience with Jesus. Like Frodo, the disciples have received a difficult calling. They have been called to follow Christ, to walk in his ways, and to be his apostles, to share a public witness of Christ's ways and his teachings to others, to God's world. By the midpoint of the gospel, the disciples have seen and experienced a great deal. They have seen Jesus heal the sick and cast out demons. They have seen Jesus calm a storm and walk on water. They have seen Jesus feed a crowd of 5,000 men. They have seen Jesus come into conflict with all kinds of opponents. They have heard him teach God's will with confidence and authority. They have heard Jesus forgive people their sins. They have even seen Jesus raise a young girl from the dead. Most of what they have heard and seen at this point has been exhilarating and exciting, but some of what they have heard from Jesus has been challenging and very difficult. Like Frodo, menaced by those terrible black riders, the disciples have encountered challenges which they are not sure they can face. From what they have understood of Jesus' teachings and his words to them, the disciples must feel some pangs of doubt in their hearts. They must be experiencing some feelings of uncertainty and fear. They must be experiencing great and terrible internal struggles. Can we really continue to follow this Jesus? Can we really go where he is leading us to go? Can we really follow him to where he says we must go? Can we really accomplish all that he has set for us to accomplish? In particular, Jesus has just revealed to his disciples that he is headed towards an experience in Jerusalem, an experience of rejection, arrest, abuse, and finally his death. And Jesus has told them, his disciples, that if they wish to follow him, if they wish to count themselves as his followers, that they must deny themselves and take up a cross, the Roman symbol of political punishment, and they must follow him under its heavy burden. It is at this point in the gospel, near the gospel's midpoint, that the drama of the story has reached its highest peak so far. What will Peter and the other disciples do? Their fears and confusion swirl and menace them like those dark, shrieking riders. It is at this moment of the disciples' greatest difficulty, that Peter and James and John are ushered up to witness a glorious mountaintop revelation. They are ushered with Christ into a moment of glory and transformation. Like Frodo, healed, fed, washed, and assured at Rivendell, Peter, James, and John are given a transformative experience on the mountaintop with Jesus. They see what they had been hoping and longing to see. They experience what they had imagined they would experience when they first started following this Savior. Jesus is glorified before their eyes. He shines with the brightness of God's heavenly glory. God's greatest servants of the past, Moses and Elijah, appear and they speak with Jesus, confirming that, yes, this is God's servant. And God's cloud of glory surrounds and enfolds them, and God's own voice speaks to them, words of assurance and continued direction, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Then, as quickly as it all had begun, the experience is over. And Peter and James and John realize that soon they will be led back down the mountain to continue in their difficult calling. At the city of Rivendell, Frodo believed that his journey had perhaps come to its end. But of course, there was so much more that this character would be called to endure. At the city of Rivendell, Frodo believed that he had reached the pinnacle of his service, but of course, there was so much more that he would be asked to do. Rather than being released from his calling, Frodo soon learned that he would be required to carry that terrible ring into the very heart of darkness and evil in his world. The extent of that challenge was surely beyond his comprehension. but all the same, that moment of glory, that experience of peace and assurance of healing, of nourishment at Rivendell, that glorious experience, it was an important and crucial moment that prepared him for the difficult journey that still lay ahead. For Frodo, Rivendell was a place where he was nourished and cleansed and equipped and outfitted for the journey and the struggle that he was still to face. It was there that he was healed of his wounds. It was there that his strength was restored. It was there that he was given armor and a sword. It was there that he was given food, bread to carry with him, nourishment that would never spoil. It was there in that glorious place that he was joined by a committed group of friends, a fellowship that would walk by his side along that difficult path. So was the Mount of Transfiguration a crucial experience for the disciples as they continued to follow Christ on that difficult journey. Perhaps in that moment of glory, Peter and James and John believed that their journey with Jesus had reached its crescendo and its pinnacle. Perhaps Peter, James, and John believed that their journey was done, that their role in following Jesus had come to its conclusion in this blast of heavenly light that they saw radiating from their Savior. Perhaps they thought that they had reached the finale, but of course their calling was only somewhere near its midpoint. But still, there on that Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples were given some of what they needed for this difficult journey that still lay ahead of them. There in that glory, that moment of glory, they were assured that despite Jesus' difficult words and his difficult teachings, they were assured that he was God's Son, that his words were trustworthy and true, that his words were worthy of their attention and their devotion. With the appearance of Moses and Elijah, the disciples were reminded of the great fellowship that walked alongside of them, that they were not alone. They had one another, and they had God's great servants of generations past with them as well. And there in that moment of glory, they were given a glimpse of the glory that Christ Jesus would one day fully embody, only after his death and his resurrection. People of God, we too are recipients of a long and a difficult calling. In general, we are called to follow and to put our trust in Christ Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, and to listen to his call to humble and self-giving service. In particular, in this season of our lives, we have been called to serve God's purposes during a long and a difficult season, which has been full of sorrows and disappointments and frustrations and tragedies. Not only have we needed to simply survive during this difficult time, but through it all, we have also felt ourselves called to be servants of God's will in accordance with Christ's teaching and the example that he gives us. In all of the frustrations and the difficulties that we have found ourselves faced with, we have found ourselves called to remain compassionate. We have felt ourselves called to remain considerate of others. We have felt ourselves called to remain humble, to humble ourselves and to put the advantage of others ahead of our own. We have felt ourselves called to draw upon the deep resources of our faith to somehow remain hopeful and peaceful in times when hope and peace seem almost impossible. We have felt ourselves called to draw on the deep resources of our faith to remain servants of love and goodness. For a significant period of time now, we have been carrying the crosses of our service, and they are getting heavy. On this Transfiguration Sunday, more so than perhaps any year before, we can relate to the situation of the disciples. On the ascent towards the mountaintop, we have already been following Christ for a while now, and we have been through so much. We also know that down on the other side of the mountain, after the glorious mountaintop experience, we know that our difficult calling will still continue. But for now, in this special and sacred moment here and now, God ushers us into a hallowed experience. God gives us now a time and a moment to instill in us a feeling of peace, a sense of assurance, and an experience of God's glory and God's provision. For now, in this special and sacred moment, God surrounds us with God's glory cloud, and God reminds us of God's presence here in our lives, here with us, each and every one of us. And here now, in this special and sacred moment, God speaks to us, words of affirmation, words of encouragement, words of direction. For now, in this special and sacred moment, God reminds us on this mountaintop that we do follow the one, God's own Son, who is worthy to be followed. For now, in this special and sacred moment, God reminds us here on this mountaintop experience that God is with us, that we are not alone on this journey, for God has given us a great fellowship to travel with us, that we have one another, that we have our faith community, and that we have the faithful generations of God's servants from the past who are to be to us a good and a powerful fellowship to walk with us and to hold us up along the difficult way. For now, in this special and this sacred moment, God is with us to remind us that we are washed clean, that we are healed, that we will be given God's own hand of provision, that we will find all that we stand in need of for the journey that comes ahead. For now, in this special and sacred moment, God reminds us that God is and always will be Emmanuel, God with us. This Rivendell experience, this Mount of Transfiguration moment, this time is a time for us to remember that we have been healed, that we are nourished, that we are washed clean, and that we are outfitted by our God and by our Savior and Lord for the journey that still lies ahead. And so may God's glory, may God's voice, and may the provision of God's Holy Spirit fill our hearts and our hands and our feet and our voices with the strength that we will need as we journey with Christ down the other side of the mountain. Thanks be to God. Amen.